by the 9th chapter of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, reading at verse 20, a very sad story of the fall of the most holiest of men that the world has ever seen. One man picked out among billions of people in the world, the only man that God could be pleased with. No. And yet we read at the end of his life this awful tale of horror, tragedy, and sin. And Noah began to be a husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brother." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. God will stamp this word from the living word of God with his seal of approval. Amen and amen. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, amen. If you lift your Bible and turn with me to the 9th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis at the chapter 9. We have been reading this very solemn portion of Holy Scripture. The greatest saint of all time caught on drunken in the tent of sodomy. Last Sunday night, we had a look at Noah, the greatest saint of all time, and how the Lord treated him and made him his instrument to preserve life upon the earth, human life and the life of the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. What a story that was! One man among millions, saved and found by God's grace, and made the instrument to preserve life upon the earth. That period of Noah's life was exactly 601 years. So the history of 601 years is a history of triumphant grace, glorious salvation, the eternal, everlasting mercy of Almighty God. Now we come to the frightening and terrible and terrifying apostasy of this man, Noah. We've been reading of God's grace. Now we start to read of Noah's disgrace. After this happening, Noah is not heard of again. Although he lived for 350 years, 350 years, but they are all in silence. What a brilliant light the grace of God sheds forth. What a terrible night the disgrace of sin brings into the human heart. Sin ought to be feared, for it has in its power the energy to destroy the most holy of mankind. What two sins destroyed the world before the flood? One, drunkenness, and two, perverted sexual relationship. These are referred to by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. For he said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married and were given in marriage. And of course, their marriage were not legal. They were perverted marriages. And those two sins caused God to scrub this world with a great flood because of man's wickedness. If you open your Bible with me at the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, and look with me at that chapter, you will find these frightening words. It says here that it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Not just one wife, but wives of all they chose. And then we find that God had something to say. He said in verse 5 that the imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And then in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt. Corrupt before God. That word means destroyed by being abased and devious. This week in the House of Commons, the vote went for making homosexual relationships equal in law to Christian marriage and giving health allowance, rent allowance, and the adoption of children allowance to homosexuals in the future. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of God. Perverted sexual relationships and strong drink. Men were drowned in the flood because of these. But the new world was soon polluted with the same sin. Strong drink and perverted sexual relationship surfaced in the new world. And they debased the very man whom God Almighty had used as a vehicle of preserving life on the earth. Oh, the damning, destructive, debasing power of sin. If God, sinner, doesn't save you from sin, you will be damned from beyond reach forever in hell. Sin is such a terrible thing and such a curse. What darkness came on the tent of Noah by it being invaded by these two soul-destroying illnesses. Pick up your Bible. Let us read this portion again and examine it. And you will find the terrible things that are written therein. The 10th chapter of Noah, of Genesis. Genesis, and we are reading at chapter 9, first of all. Look at chapter 9 and look at verse 20. Noah began. Just stop there. Noah began. There is always a beginning of sin. And it's the sinner that begins to sin. Noah began it, but he didn't finish it. For sin always does its finishing, destructing, and damning work. Noah began. He began the downgrade, but he did not finish it and he couldn't stop it. Sin did the finishing. Sin, when it is finished, the scriptures tell me, bringeth forth death. And that is a death that never, ever dies. What else does it say? It says here that he planted a vineyard. He planted. He began the planting of vine trees. But those vine trees became the hanging trees for his faithful witness and holy living. You can see the carcasses on those trees of 600 years spent for God and now hung up on the gallows of a sin. What a terrible, destructive thing sin is. How powerful it is. And then look again. Every word is important. Important. And he drunk. It says he began to be a husbandman. He began to be a husbandman. The word there in the Hebrew is he began to be a tiller of the ground. It's the same word as used of Cain in an earlier chapter. You see, when Noah came out of the ark, he was in the line of Abel. What did he do? He built an altar. He shed blood. And he made sacrifice. He was in the line of Abel. But sin took him astray and brought him into the line of Cain. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Noah became a husbandman. He became a tiller of the ground. That was a terrible thing. Because Noah's name was connected with God's curse on the ground and the story of the good news of deliverance from that. So if you turn back and you have a look at a previous verse, you will find about something about Noah. the fifth chapter of Genesis, when he was born, his father called him Noah, and he called him Noah because he said, "This seam shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord cursed." So it was called comfort, for he brought good news of a way through the curse on the land. You know what Noah did when he sinned? He turned aside from his own name and took again the name of the accursed line of Cain, the first murderer. What a deceiver sin is. And then note these words, "And he drank of the wine." He drank of the wine. That's the first mention in the whole Bible of the word wine. He drank of the wine. And you will notice that word wine in the Hebrew is the word yayin. It means fermented wine with an alcoholic content. It's the first time it's mentioned in the Old Testament, and the last time it is mentioned in the Old Testament, you will find it in the book of Habakkuk. Interesting just to check that verse. And in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, we read these words. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 5. "Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people." So the Old Testament's first mention of wine has to do with death, judgment, pollution, and God's curse. And the last mention of wine in the Old Testament has to do with the same thing, the curse of God upon alcoholic beverage and upon wine. Becoming a very popular thing today for so-called Christians to boast of the fact that they are wine drinkers at their meal. May God save us from wine drinking Christians. May God get us not drunk with wine, but get us filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what we need in the Christian church today. But it says something else. Please note it. Verse 9, he drunk the wine, and something happened to him when he drunk the wine. He was drunken. Sin always conquers. Sin always controls. And sin always corrupts. No man is able to fight the battle of sin and win it. Sin always wins the battle. Always. And he was uncovered in his tent. Because sin always brings forth the harvest of shame. Sin and shame cannot be separated. And here is this man in his tent, uncovered in his nakedness. Now this uncovering of his nakedness is a description of a perverted sexual act. You've only to look at the book of Leviticus chapter 18 and read that whole chapter, and you will see this seeing of nakedness is God's description of a perverted sex act, and an act of sodomy took place in this tent by the son of Noah on his father in his father's tent of shame and sin and perfection, perverseness. What a sin is this. Now, verse 23 says that Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Why? Because God said, we have to shun the very appearance of evil. We are to cover it. We're not to look upon it. Even though we reject it. I know no sadder picture than drunken Noah in the tent of Sodom. What a picture. What a picture of shame and of darkness and of despair. I'm glad that when we turn to the New Testament, Noah is spoken of again. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And it says here, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Heir of the righteousness that is by faith. Between the 10th chapter or the 9th chapter of Hebrews, of Genesis, between the 9th chapter of Genesis and the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you know what there is? There's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that cross that guaranteed to Noah, when he believed, safety, satisfaction, and salvation. And it is that cross that keeps man, even in the darkness of their folly, if they're genuinely converted to Christ, it keeps them in the everlasting love and grace of God. An heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And then Noah awoke. Every sinner will one day awake. Some sinners awake in time and repent and are restored, as Noah most certainly was. But some people awake too late. The rich man lift up his eyes in hell, being in torment. He awoke too late. Notice what happened when this man, Noah, awoke. He knew what his younger son had done unto him. He knew what his son Ham had done unto him. Did he curse him? No. He didn't curse him. He cursed Ham's son, Canaan. Why did he not curse his son, Ham? Why did he not curse His Son, huh? Because God had blessed Noah and his sons. Chapter 9, verse 1. And what God blesses, no man can curse. But he cursed his offspring. He cursed Canaan. That is very interesting, because in the scriptures, in chapter 9, if you go down that passage, you'll see the life of these men, chapter 10 rather, and you'll get the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And from verse 1 to verse 5, you will find the sons of Ham. Who were they? They were the people that occupied the land of Canaan, the Canaanites. And all during the Old Testament, the Canaanites were accursed. They were accursed. Read in the Judges, they were put to tribute. Read in the Book of Kings, they were put under slavery. The curse of Noah prevailed. The son that he had was Ham, and Ham sinned as the son. But God punished Ham's son because God visits the iniquity of the fathers unto the children, to the third and fourth generation. But he shows mercy on thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. Cain is cursed. But what happens to Shem? Shem is the father of the race that produced Abraham, the father of the Hebrews. And in Shem, the whole world was blessed. Who was Japheth? Japheth, if you read the chapter carefully, was the father of all the Gentile nations. Now, what happened? What does Noah say? Read it carefully. He said of Canaan, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, a slave of slaves shall he be. And the world proved that and saw that that was true. But blessed be the Lord God of Shem. Canaan shall be his servant. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. God shall enlarge Japheth. The greatest nations of the world are the Gentile nations. Remark. But where did they live? They dwelt in the tents of Shem. And Canaan also was his servant. The house, the tent of Shem was God's house, for Shem was of the holy tribe, the elect tribe, the chosen of God. But Japheth, the Gentiles, they dwelt in the tents of Shem. Because after Christ came and the Jewish nation refused to accept Christ as their national redeemer, the gospel was turned to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles became the occupiers of the house of Shem. So wonder of wonders, amidst the darkness of that awful tent, amidst the darkness of the sin committed in that awful tent, amidst the depravity displayed, there was the kindling of gospel light, and there was the glorious prophecy of better days to come, when the whole world would be blessed through Shem and Japheth. Ah, that's away in the twilight of the history of this world. No man could have penned those words. They were penned by God, for God purposed, planned, and undertook that those words would be eternally fulfilled. That he would dot every I and stroke every T. The post-diluvian world, the world after the flood here, in a few words, is accurately and authentically made as plain as a noonday sun. Here we have the miracle of divine revelation. But the soul that sinneth dies. And although Noah did not die eternally, it records his physical death at 950 years. And he died. So there is death where sin is. But there is not eternal death to those who trust in the death of Christ for divine salvation. That is the very heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we in the tent drunken and lost? Or are we in the tent in shame and sin, and yet are recipients of grace that turns the darkness to light and the power of sin and Satan unto God? That is the question that everyone here must answer for themselves. Let us bow our heads. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word and for its great and divine truthfulness. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt speak to the heart of every sinner, and may there be a great coming to Christ and a trusting in the Savior. And for those that have left the old paths and have gone astray, may they hear tonight the call of Noah's Savior and Restorer. And may they enter into restoration and the enjoyment of salvation. They haven't lost their salvation, for what God gives is forever. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. But they've lost the joy. Restore to backsliders the joy of sins forgiven for Jesus' sake. And everybody say, Amen.